Welcome, everybody. It's kind of good to be back in the cooler weather, but it was cold at my house. It was hot where I was and cold where I came to. Of course, all of those things are remediable. You know, I'm trading my shame. Every one of us avails ourselves of the sufficiency of the blood of the Lamb for our sin. That's how come we maintain a hope and keep coming, because we know that. There's another part of the sufficiency of the blood that I think we lack oftentimes, and that is that we stand solely and completely because of its sufficiency and have no boast or no need to justify otherwise. It's not a matter of being better than anybody. It's not a matter of being able to explain away our actions in the past. It's just simply a matter of coming to rest in the fact that we're sinners, but Jesus took our place. And that is enough. And to be truly satisfied in that place and in that sufficiency. I was going to go back to Psalm 119, which we kind of took a look at on Wednesday. And as Megan said, we should read it. And I actually agreed with her, and still do. And I'm just going to read down through the first 8 verses. And as she pointed out, Psalm 119 is split up into sections of 8. And, you know, the thing about reading a psalm like this is not only to read it, but to take the time to meditate upon what it says and allow the Word of God to become the rule of our lives. I know that we all know the Word of God, but to actually choose it and to walk in its ways is not necessarily what we do. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. You know, we know that we are not walking in the Ten Commandments. The law of the Lord begins with that grace and mercy by which we stand and continues by that grace and mercy that we're to extend to another. Blessed are the undefiled in the way. Jesus is the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. This is what I'm talking about, the keeping of his testimonies. We're mightily blessed because we not only have his word, but we have those who open it up to us, who shine a light on things that we might see ourselves and do this. Choose his ways, choose his testimonies, choose his life. Seek him with our whole heart. Have that be our desire. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. This is what is our daily bread, is to be mindful and aware and choose him over and over again. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. I thought about this morning because when I went before the Lord in prayer and in thanksgiving for his grace and his mercy and his blood, which gives me access to him, I'm also aware of how lightly we can take such a thing and how we can come before him kind of by rote, where it's just something we do and think that's all. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. I want to keep his statutes. I do fall short. But every day I had the opportunity to avail myself of him, to come before him boldly, to find help to do this. He says to come boldly before him to find help in time of need. Well, I find that I have need of his help frequently, to stand, to hold on to be strengthened by, to have a hope because of. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. I know that as I move forward in life, and this psalm very much talks about the Lord opening our eyes and showing us his way and causing us to walk in it, that then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. This is something to cry out to the Lord to have, respect for all his commandments. Then there's no shame. Our boast is in him. We're solid on the rock. We're delivered from the things of the flesh and the high-mindedness and the sin that we do so frequently fall into. When we have respect, when we choose, when we see and do his commandments. I will praise thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments. He is the author and finisher of faith, and his desire is to accomplish in us exactly what this psalm says, where we have respect unto all of his commandments, where we can praise him with uprightness of heart because we've learned his righteous judgments. His judgments are righteous. Ours are not. Ours are evil, but his aren't. You know, you can look back at Paul in the Bible. You can look back at David. You can look back at Moses. And you can look back at Samuel. And you can see where they came into alignment with God's judgments. I will keep thy statutes. Oh, forsake me not utterly. What a marvelous thing that we have a God who forsakes us not, unto whom we can go to and start afresh and move forward and put off all that has been in the past, even just 3 hours ago, 2 hours ago, 5 minutes ago, that in him all things are made new. My hope and my prayer is that we will not take so great a gift lightly, but that we really will get serious to know him, the power of his resurrection, to serve him. And like as Paul said at the end of his conversation in the second book of Timothy, to say with him, I have kept the faith. I have finished my course. I am ready to be offered. It's not just words. It's actually when we do and do not allow ourselves to be moved from the hope and the knowledge and the truth of the gospel.
Praise God. Not quite sure where we'll go this morning on these things. I had a bunch of stuff running or rummaging around in my head. But I want to look at Psalm 119, a couple things real quick. Blessed are the undefiled in the way. So we know Jesus is the way, the truth, and life. We know over in Romans it says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit of God. Right, who walk in the law of the Lord. Now, what I want to get at here is, see, the grace of God frees us so we can walk the walk. That's the whole purpose of it. It's there so we can walk the walk. Because when we walk the walk, people know that the Word of God is true. When we don't walk the walk, how are people to know? How are they to know? So the grace is there, and that grace that Robin Summit, that's new every morning, and there's no shame and all the different things, we have to accept that and accept it into ourselves and know that that blood is sufficient and let it set us free to then serve Him. Don't hang on to the other stuff, the stuff that wants to keep you back from that. Don't hang on to that. Sure, anybody can point the finger and put lay charges against you for the other stuff. Whoop-dee-doo. I mean, whoop-dee-doo. What difference does any of that make? It makes no difference, folks. It makes no difference. I don't care what they say. There, it takes away my shame. I can actually stand and love them, notwithstanding their accusations. Because what difference does it make? The blood of Jesus has taken that away. Whether they accept that or not, neither here nor there. I don't have to be bound up in the shame. It gives me the opportunity to testify of the goodness of God. You're right. Why do you think my Savior had to die for me? You're absolutely right. Where's the shame? Where's the shame? You can actually stand in love and minister, notwithstanding all of that stuff. Blessed are they that keep His testimonies and that seek Him with the whole heart. You know, one of the things is, when you read the Scripture, you're reading the testimonies, His testimonies. His testimonies of His own life, right? There we read it, written by John and Mark and Matthew and Luke. But we also, the entire Scripture is the testimony of His working in people's life. When we keep them, you know what happens? We get confronted with situations. We get confronted with situations, and what comes to mind? His testimony of a situation just like your own, which you can bring to bear and apply in your life to walk in His victory. That's what the purpose of it is. It's not to tell, I mean, sure, it is to share the testimony of God with other people, but if you don't live the testimony of God, then what use is it? Taking the name of the Lord in vain. I know these things, but I don't use them. They don't happen in my life. Better go see this other person. They can tell you about it. What's that about? What's that about? And that seek Him with the whole heart. See, one of the things that the Word testifies against us on is it testifies against our heart. You know, I'm just following my heart. I'm sorry to hear that. Oh my God! Get away from me! What will be next? I just say this because people say these things as though, oh, excuse me, I should bow down and worship before you because in contrast to me, you are following your heart and therefore you must be right and good and wholesome, right? Uh-uh. See, the testimony of the Word is against our hearts. That's why we have to seek Him with the whole heart. We don't want to be like that. What was that old song? I don't want to be like you. Okay? We got to sing it to ourselves. I don't want to be like you. I want to be like Him. You follow what I'm saying? And that's where we take that testimony and we walk it out knowing that the blood of Jesus Christ is sufficient. They also do no iniquity. They walk in His ways. Why do you do no iniquity? Because you know you're a good-for-nothing loser. Yourself. Okay? But you know you can walk in His victory, which other people may think is prideful and arrogant of you. Who cares? I can tell you, when you walk in His victory, that's what other people are going to say about you. They're going to say that you're full of pride. That's what they're going to say. You're going to have that course everywhere. Everywhere. All right? So can you stand against that chorus in humility before God, knowing the truth? Because if you can do great things. If you can, you can do great things. And you cannot judge those who judge you for the fact that they see it wrong. You can yet love them and lay your life down for them. And you can minister unto them. Because you're not moved by them. You're moved by the Spirit of God. And so you walk in His ways. What did Jesus do? Nothing but what His Father, who was the Holy Spirit, which is the Spirit of God, all right, showed Him to do or gave Him to speak. That's what He did. You can do likewise. Thou hast commanded us to keep Thy precepts diligently. Well, I don't know about you guys, but my experience is I don't care what great thing may have happened yesterday or last week or 5 minutes ago or what other thing. I am fully capable of absolutely screwing up beyond my wildest dreams right now. I mean, right now. It is so easy. That's the easiest thing in the world. Which is why you have to exercise your, what did it say? Thou hast commanded us to keep Thy precepts diligently. He didn't say this because it was a light matter. He commanded it. It's a commandment because He knows what our natural man is by nature. And He knows that if we're going to put Him down, have that body under subjection and go forward in Him, we can't, we have to do that diligently. The thoughts come into your head. Well, I'm a good for nothing. Cast that thought down. I can do all things through Christ Jesus which strengtheneth me. Okay? Cast it down. Throw that sucker on the ground. Stomp on him with steel-toed army boots. Get rid of him. Who cares? It's not about what you can do. If it were about what you can do, there'd be no hope. It's about what he can do. So he has commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. You know why my ways want to be, why I want my ways to be directed to keep his statutes? Because my ways aren't his ways. So I recognize I don't got a lot of fetching up. I need direction. For me, that comes in the form of every single day yielding up the reins of my heart unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Yielding them up and determining within myself that more than anything in this life, this world, I want to operate in submission and obedience to Him and trusting in Him. Because if I don't, it's going to be a disaster. It's going to be a disaster. But if I do, I can do all things. Every situation I'm confronted with, I can bring Him to bear for people to see. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. You mean all of them? You mean there's... But some of them I don't particularly like. They're kind of distasteful to me. So? I mean, do you really think that's an excuse? I mean, unfortunately, we get accustomed to it as children, like eating. You know, we eat and... I don't like this. I don't like the texture of that. I don't like the whatever. You know, I mean, we just have like 16 gazillion reasons why I shouldn't have to eat this. And then what do? We carry that over into our walk with the Lord. I don't like that. I mean, I do this, but I mean, those, we just kind of ignore them. You know, we kind of like, I'm keeping the commandments of the Lord. Which ones? I pray. Oh, okay. Way to go. Man, you're awesome, man. I serve my husband. Wait a second. But did I just say that word? Because that one, man, sometimes my husband's a jerk, man. And he doesn't seems to be insensitive to me. He doesn't recognize my needs and the things I have need of. And he's, you know, if I don't do it, it's not going to get done. And so I got to do it and all of these kinds of things. You see what I'm saying? So we start leaving that one to the side and justifying ourselves. Well, I would if he just, right? Because he's not just, therefore me, the just one, has to step in and handle it, right? That's how it works. So Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. I will praise thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments. I will keep thy statutes, so forsake me not utterly. These are kind of declarations that this person's making, the psalmist is making. And he's making them, if he's saying, oh, forsake me not utterly, it's because he realizes he doesn't do this perfectly. And because he doesn't do it perfectly, and yet that's exactly what he wants to do, and he knows God is a righteous God, and he wouldn't ask him to do anything he couldn't do, that there's a fear. There's a recognition that, you know what? Today is the day. Not next week, not, well, you know, I'm not so tired, or, you know, when I don't have so many things going on, or, when, you know, all the different stupid excuses we give for not doing it today. When you live your life today, and you do everything today, it's amazing how your life will change. What's he say? He says, take no thought for the morrow. Why? Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Okay, now let's look at that. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Okay, I wake up this morning, I gotta preach here this morning, so what's one of the evils that comes against me? Unbelief. Unbelief comes against me. It's an evil. I gotta put that sucker off. Cast that sucker off. I'm looking, I'm a father, I look at my family, I see I got a boy here with a big swollen blue eye, ugly and stuff like that, and it didn't have to happen, and it happened, and it is what it is, and I realize that some of the issues that are going on with him, and with him, the two parties involved in this, that are issues that have to get dealt with them. And I realize they're having to get dealt with them partly because of my stupid failings. Right? And partly because we're just carnal and sinners, and they're learning, and they're young, and stuff like that. So, I get it. And I struggle in the midst of looking at those things to see, all right, Lord, how do I deal with these things I see? How? How do I see these things change? Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. I bring to bear the word of God first in prayer on that situation until I can believe God. I know he's big enough to handle that situation until I can believe God that his grace and his power is big enough to handle that situation. Right? You know, you go forward, you got a bunch of different things to do. You can't do everything today. You got to do some things today. So which things do I do? And you lift up in prayer. You want your things to be directed by the Lord and stuff like that. You lift it up in prayer. And let him bring into focus the things you need to deal with that day, and you forget about the things you're not dealing with that day. You do the things you gotta deal with that day, and you confront them. Because if your attention is divided, that's tickets, man. Even if you get something done, so to speak, it's not going to be done right, because you're not giving it the appropriate attention. You're not doing it heartily as unto the Lord. You're divided. You're double-minded. Where's the Lord going to be involved in that? Not. What do you need in order to do something right? Him to be involved in it. In fact, him to be the author of it. So, sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. I got legal work to do tomorrow. I don't know what it is. I know there's a lot of it. And when I get there, I probably have more. I have some for Tuesday too already, it seems to me. But you know what? If I'm focused on my legal work tomorrow, then I can't deal with the things I got today. And deal with the things I got done, got to do today. So that's that take no thought for the morrow. And I wanted to turn here to 2 Timothy chapter 3 for a moment. We all know this chapter. Well, I won't say everybody knows. Just about everybody physically here in this room knows, except maybe my children. And we know 2 Timothy chapter 3, it's that one that talks about the latter-day church. And the reason why I want to bring this up is, you know, David was talking last week about I being single. We're talking about wanting to take that grace that is extended unto us and employ it today. And we talked about purpose of faith, and David did, about purpose of faith as being God gives us faith, each of us, the measure of faith for what purpose, that we can use it to believe him. Right? That's what he gave it to us for. And we read about how we're to love one another and all of these other things. And it's interesting. I mean, people go, no, we want to love one another and everything. But what does that really mean? And what it really means is to serve. What did Jesus say? The greatest of you all shall be servant of all. See, when you serve, you love. That's what agape love is about. If you love me, keep my commandments, Jesus says. So, love is about serving others. See, the fundamental problem we have is we want what we want. Which means it's all about us. And when we want what we want, you know what? Our entire life is devoted to getting what we want. Whether it be prayer, and then we're disappointed in that mean, nasty old man we call God because he just doesn't give me what I want. Why is that? I ask. But he doesn't give it to us. Why? Because he loves you. Because he loves you. If you really want to go forward and serve God, you really want to be a Christian who walks in victory. You want to be a Christian who manifests the love of Jesus Christ to one another and to the world out here. And you got to become a servant. You got to be willing to serve others. And I'm just going to show you how this trumps everything in 2 Timothy 3. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. Now let me ask you something. If you're loving me, what do I have to fear from you? Do I have anything to fear from you if you love me? I have zero, because you will only do me good and not evil, right? So if we're dwelling in perilous times and stuff like that, it's because people don't love. Alright, and therefore you don't know what they're gonna do. They might do something bad. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous. So they want what other people have. Do you want what other people have? Do you look with envy at what other people have? The things that you have, are you willing to share? Are you willing to give them away? Or are they more important to you than that? See what I'm saying? When you serve other people, then what's there to be covetous about? Because you don't care about any of it. Not in the sense of what it means to you. You care about it in the sense of how it can be used to minister unto others. That's what you care about. That's what you look at everything. Boasters. Well, you can boast in the Lord, but what's there to boast of you? If you desire, for example, to people to speak all well of you and to tell you what a great job you've done with your children and all of these things. And when they say that, you're just filled to the brim and stuff like that. And it's like, wow, and everything. You know what? You're not operating in love. If you desire that kind of stuff. Davey had a thing. He used to tell people, go rent a corpse. Speak kind to it. What's it do? Nothing. Speak evil to it. What's it do? You see, when we covet these things, when we want these things, when we want to be able to speak well of ourselves and all of this other stuff and the like, it's all about us. God, if he were to move mightily on your behalf, it would kill you. Because you'd be so lifted up in pride and self-exaltation that you couldn't minister to anybody and you would die in the same iniquity that carried Lucifer away. Disobedient to parents. I mean, I got to obey my parents. Like, they call me for dinner, I do what? I play a little while longer until they call me again. Right? Isn't that what we do? No. I mean, when my father in the Lord, when he calls me, do I go, well, I got something else I got to do? Or do I respond immediately? Yes, sir, what can I do for you? You follow what I'm saying? These things, I just share them with you. When your mind is to be a servant, these things don't matter to you. They don't matter to you. The only one you're mindful of in this is the one you're serving, which is the Lord. It's only His testimony that you care about. That's the only one that you care about. Can I tell you, it's funny, like Unkundi out there in Kenya, you know what he always begins with me? He always begins with something to cater to pride. Oh, Brother Steve, they think you, they see you as their father. Well, what's wrong? They got a problem then. I'm not their father. No, no, but they really, they need to, they see you as your, as our, as your father. Well, did they receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior? If they did, then God is their father, not me. They don't need me. Oh, but the, you see, they cater to your pride, trying to get you to do what they want you to do. And you can't serve in that place. You can't serve in that place. But you know what? By nature, you're drawn to that kind of stuff. He goes on, unthankful, unholy. When you are of a mind to serve others, you're always grateful for the opportunity to serve. So, for example, I sent Joe and Sam out this morning to clean up the poops out in the yard. So what do I get coming back up when I'm in the shower? Dad, did you tell me to pick up the poops? No, I told you guys to pick up the poops. But if you love your brother, you'll go pick them up. Because I know it's a distasteful job. Nobody wants to pick up the poops. But if you love your brother, you'll go do it. You'll volunteer for the service. But if it's all about you, what will you be? Hoping to God somebody else will volunteer for that service, right? And you're never satisfied. You never get what you want because when you're serving yourself, what happens? There's always something more you want. When you see yourself as the servant of others, you're not even thinking about yourself. You're grateful for everything you've got. Unholy. Well, of course you're unholy if you're selfish. Look, Christ came to do what? To make everybody serve Him? Is that what He did? Did He come here and make everybody serve Him? When He came and the Pharisees spoke bad of Him, He said, struck one of them down with lightning and said, now the rest of you bow down and worship Me. Is that what He did? Wow, He could have. How often do you want to use the Lord so that other people will want to bow down to you? When you really get down to it, that's what your motive is. You want them to esteem and think wonderfully of you. That's why you want them to be healed. That's why you want them to, you know, accept the Lord. That's why you want them to do all these different things, is because in the end, then they'll look up to you. He came to serve, man, even unto the death. If you want to love, if you want to walk in the Lord, you've got to change your mindset. You've got to say, you know what? I am determined in my heart, no matter what the cost, to serve you. And you know what? Some days that's easier than others, isn't it? I was talking to Sammy the other day. He wasn't feeling too well. And we were doing something upstairs. I said, you know, you have a decision. It's harder to believe God when you're not feeling well, isn't it? It's easy when you're feeling good and doing what you want to do. But when you're not feeling good, it's harder. It's a sacrifice to choose to exercise yourself and believe Him today. That's what the Lord is pleased with. That's what the Lord is pleased with. So what happens in these things, folks, is when you start looking to serve other people, then the attributes of God begin to emerge. Look at the next one, without natural affection. When you come to desire to serve that other person, then you begin to love that other person. And you begin to find out about that other person. And you begin to know what that person likes and doesn't like and things like that. And you desire to minister unto them in those things that will be a blessing to them. And your affection for that individual grows. when you want them to serve you, then they're inconvenience, man. Take children, for example. And this is one of the big ones in which this comes in. Children can be mighty inconvenient to an adult, to a parent. Am I not right? I mean, children can be mighty inconvenient. I mean, I used to play softball on Tuesday nights. Now I'm home. You know, can't find a babysitter for my child. And I used to do this. We used to do all these things before we had children. You know, why do they take so long to do this thing? Why, I mean, right? We get into this kind of stuff. But when we love our children, by contrast, they're not an inconvenience to us. They now become an opportunity for us to show that love. And I just share this with you folks because really, I mean, service to God is where it's at. That's where you're going to find the joy. That's when you're going to find the strength. That's when you're going to find all these things. And you're going to find that, for example, when you're standing around in doubt and unbelief because you don't like the way things are going for you, you're going to, instead of thinking, judging God, which really is most of what we're doing, most unbelief, ultimately, when you really get down to it, is just judging God, finding fault with Him because He hasn't done what we think He should do in a situation. I'm sick. If God were real, I would be well. If God were real, I wouldn't have to go through this. All the different stuff. And all of that is tied to pride and not being all about me. That's what it's tied to, the whole thing. When I'm serving, I realize, you know what? I put down that flesh. I choose, rather, to believe God. I choose to go forth in that home. I choose to minister unto the person before me. I choose to go to work. I choose to care for my child. I choose to put down my tiredness. I choose to put down anything that's going to stand in the way of me ministering in the situation that's right before me. And God will bless you in it. But if you don't, where's God? See, Sammy's eye, and it hurt. I know that thing hurt when he got hit last night with that frisbee. But you know when it stopped hurting less? When he actually got over everything and was able to sit down and enjoy the movie and even keep the ice pack up there? Is when he got over blaming Joseph. Until that point, I mean, he was crying and he was wailing and he was this and that and the other thing and he wasn't going to watch the movie, he wasn't going to do anything and everything because he was just and Joe was a jerk. Once he got over that, all of a sudden the eye, which didn't physically change, it was still puffy and all the other things, all of a sudden he wasn't crying anymore. All of a sudden he could open the eye and look at the movie screen. All of a sudden he could do all these things. Pride sucks, man. It just really does. It really does. And when you can get past that kind of stuff, folks, the blessing of the Lord will be upon you.